Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia, this is CJSF 90.1 FM.
From the Netherlands, this is the Green Planet Monitor. Voices and stories from a warm, wet planet. Today, Dutch student protesters stand up for Gaza at a university gathering and get a hearing.
Neutrality does not exist in the face of genocide.
So we stop.
Not when the UU keeps collaborating with Israeli institutions that are responsible for the horrors that we see in Gaza today.
Free speech in the Netherlands? Think again. Police thugs break up a campus encampment violently.
So with me, what the guy did was like he made a fist and he had his knuckle like this, and then he was
hurt.
And
your neck.
Yeah, and it really, really hurt, and I couldn't figure out what he was doing.
He's going
but then
for your,
he carotid. Yeah. And then I started fainting. So the third time he found it, and then I started fainting.
Protesters persevere. The university relents a bit.
One of the things we finalized the list of all our collaborators, and we will publish it by the end of this week. And also we will re-evaluate all the research that is done in collaboration with Israeli universities.
Democracy and free speech in the Netherlands, perhaps. This is the Green Planet Monitor. I'm David Kattenberg. Palestine solidarity protests have been taking place around the world, no more dramatically and in the face of brutal police violence than on university campuses. In the Netherlands, students and faculty can expect to be dealt with in two very different ways. At the end of March, at the most august proceedings of the University of Utrecht's 388th birthday gathering in a magnificent old church, a handful of students and faculty stood up and spoke out against genocide in Gaza. True to the event's theme, democracy and free speech, they got 3.5 minutes to state their case and another 90 seconds in the middle of the keynote address. Oppose the unfolding Israeli genocide in Gaza, they demanded. Disclose university ties with Israeli universities and companies, and commit to an academic board. Directors listened, though apparently with deaf ears. So, on May 7th, students and faculty set up an encampment in a university courtyard. Riot police evicted them violently, reportedly on the request of university president Anton Pipers. Protesters were driven by bus to a remote location and dumped, a process referred to as administrative displacement. The next day, students and faculty struck again, occupying a campus building. Once again, violence was meted out, this time involving the Romeos, a notorious Dutch police unit consisting of masked cops disguised as protesters, infuriated. This past Monday, May 13th, that's yesterday, faculty and students staged a walkout across the Netherlands. In Utrecht, a senior rector came out and spoke to the crowd. We'll listen to that shortly. First, here's what the student disruption of Utrecht University's birthday gathering sounded like. The volume begins a bit low, then rises.
The importance of unwritten rules will therefore be the core of the dais lecture. This is democracy in action, so. And we have some procedures for that, and it's now in place.
Became refugees. Do you know how long it took the university to condemn Russia's brutal attack? Just 5 days. Do you know how long it took the university to boycott Russian universities? Just 11 days. Meanwhile, we have been begging our university to do the same for the Palestinians in the past 6 months. we have been met with claims of neutrality as a protection for academic freedom. But neutrality does not exist in the face of genocide.
So is thought.
Not when the UU keeps collaborating with Israeli institutions that are responsible for the horrors that we see in Gaza today.
The theme of the Dallas is democracy.
Now.
You all come together here.
We have to
affirm our
stop this
goal
now.
In
sorry.
A society built on a sense of human rights, protection, safety, and justice for all. But the values of our institutions prides itself for fostering seems to be only applicable to certain populations and states. Are the Palestinians not worthy of protection and a life free of violence and oppression? Do your values not apply to them? What more will it take for this university to recognize that what is happening in Gaza is a genocide? How many more thousands of deaths? How many more people carrying bodies of their beloved ones in bags do you need to see? How many more children must become orphans? How many more Palestinians have to be mercilessly injured, maimed, and killed for this university to take a stance and to take action?
We stop. We stop now. Let's stop this now.
Make sure that Israel remains unpunished.
We're going to stop now.
Everyone here has a responsibility. Our executive board has a responsibility. The UU needs to condemn the genocide on the Palestinian people, the complete destruction of the Gazan education system, the murders of our peers, your colleagues, our students. The UU needs to cut ties with Israeli institutions just as it is with Russia. If the UU stands behind the democratic values it is celebrating today, it cannot afford to collaborate with Israeli institutions that are designed to support, inform, and enact the ongoing genocide on the Palestinian people. Free Palestine, cut ties now!
Okay, we stop now.
Students' disruption of Utrecht University's 388th birthday party, Dies Natalis, on March 27th. We'll link to the university's official video of the entire proceedings at greenplanetmonitor.net. It's all there, a great watch, including a filmed interview with a pro-Palestine faculty member draped in a keffiyeh. Last weekend, the GPM rendezvoused with two of the students you've just heard at a large pro-Gaza march in Amsterdam. Here's our conversation. Raha and Duran are master at Utrecht University.
I'm Raha and I'm a master student at Utrecht University. And it was very ironic actually because the theme of the Dies Natalis was democracy. And we looked at the previous ceremonies before. And what really stood out was the fact that our university, rightfully so, had boycotted Russian universities when Russia attacked Ukraine. And it took them less than 2 weeks to put out a very good statement condemning the attack and also boycotting the Russian universities. And the Dies Natalis that followed the attack of Russia on Ukraine, the university was basically praising itself. I'm paraphrasing what they were saying, but they were like, the community wanted us to, you know, take a stance, and we did so. So they were praising themselves for their actions for Ukraine, but now when in the midst of a genocide, they cannot even bring up a statement condemning the bombing of all universities in Gaza, condemning the deaths of the murders of their colleagues, academic colleagues in Palestine. The university is looking the other way.
And had they been called upon to make a statement?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the thing is, we've been like...
Introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Jer. I am also a master's student at Utrecht University. And we're part of the Utrecht Solidarity with Palestine student group. And we have been protesting for quite a while. So I think the first action after the 7th, because the the group has existed, like, I think 2021, and the first thing we did was like a banner drop in the library of the university. The university has been quite tolerant for our actions. So we've had several demonstrations, we've been flyering, but they kind of just let us do our thing. We've sent emails out, we got kind of a response with kind of like an empty statement.
I wouldn't even say tolerant. They're just basically ignoring us and hoping we go away, hoping it dies down. Because as Darren said, like the past 7 months, we have tried in many, many different ways, many different times, from, as he said, letters signed by over 1,000 students and staff, petitions, like multiple letters and petitions. We've had multiple protests in front of the building where the executive board resides. We have had banner drops. We have had so many different actions calling on our university to cut the ties, bring out a statement, and also to revise future collaborations with other institutions by looking at human rights violations in a specific country. We want them to also change the policy after this. We have tried so many different ways, but the university just consciously chooses to look the other way and to just ignore us and hope we go away.
And what are Utrecht University's ties or connections with Israel, with Israeli universities? What are its holdings? What are its investments? What are its connections?
So we have done a request for disclosure of investments. However, at this point, the university has, I think, around 9 or 10 active ties with Israeli universities that design the genocide and the suppression on the Palestinian people, that implement this design of policy, that develop the weapons that are being used to genocide the Palestinian people, and also they fabricate them and sell them, calling the weapons field tested, which means, in their terms, they've been tested on the Palestinian people.
Are you saying that Utrecht University invests in Israeli arms companies?
Investment we are not sure about because we don't have the information. However, they do work on research collaborations, for example, with the Weizmann Institute, with Ben-Gurion University, with Haifa University, with many universities that are known to, for example, train the IOF. And what we cannot forget is the fact that building academic institutions on colonized ground is also wrong.
But I mean the departments, which departments at Utrecht University have ties, connections, research connections with these Israeli institutions? Which departments at Utrecht University?
The information we can find is not specified to departments, but on one research collaboration, Utrecht University is the coordinator, and on the other one, Utrecht University's academic hospital is the coordinator. But this gives
these. But you can't get details of these connections.
Can get details of these of the research collaborations, yes, but no further details of other connections that they might have. They also have exchange programs, which is bizarre. The Utrecht University teaches. They dedicate full courses, full masters to colonization, decolonization, to genocide and the studies of genocide and human rights violations. Yet they are blind to their own, to themselves being complicit in having exchange programs with universities that are built on colonized ground, with having ties to universities that suppress the Palestinian people, that treat Palestinian students as second-class students. It's painfully ironic.
And so the university has tolerated your protests.
They ignored our protests.
They ignored your protests until your action at the celebration.
Well, there was one protest. It was quite a smaller protest before that was held outside of a room where the board was at that moment having a meeting with the student council, I think.
Like a full council meeting.
Yeah. So that was very disruptive for them. They couldn't really like continue their meeting. They had to like take a pause because they couldn't hear each other over the chants from the students that were protesting outside. And I felt like I think all of us felt like that kind of set some things in motion. We had some conversations with students that were in the council. So I think we felt that we had to be more disruptive for us to actually be heard. And then when Dies Natalis came up, I think that was like a good opportunity to disrupt something, especially because it's such a symbolic day, of course.
And I was struck when I was watching the video at how they kind of let you, right? I mean, the guy in the front who was in his gown and he was making the address, he said, oh, this is democracy. We've got a process for this. And then suddenly this other guy in the gown and the cap came over with a microphone and stood in front of you and then your other two comrades.
Yeah,
and
but that
I thought, oh wow, this is the Netherlands. This is free speech.
No, that wasn't free speech. That was just for show, because we picked the right moment and we used the right moment to make our voices heard in front of important people within the university. That was all for show, because the past 7 months have proven that they are in fact not democratic, because they don't listen to us. They have never invited us unless we have forced them to do so by organizing disruptive actions. They themselves have never reached out to any of their students regarding any of their Arab and Palestinian students regarding the genocide of the Palestinian people. So it was all for show. They just want to hold face or keep face in this situation. I don't trust. What we have also seen the past 7 months is there is no democracy in the university. Democracy doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, in the United States, we're seeing police coming in, various police forces coming in and really brutally putting down protests. And all these incredibly prestigious American universities that you know are financed by really, really deep-pocketed corporations and people who are saying, you know, I'm going to withdraw my $500 million a year endowment if you don't crack down on these protests. So the universities are really corporate institutions in the United States. Is that sort of the same in the Netherlands?
No, we are paying. We are the ones, and our government are the ones paying for these institutions.
So these are, I mean, Netherlands universities, Dutch universities are, in a sense, public institutions. They're all public institutions.
Yeah, they're like kind of in this weird in between, I feel, because they're also privatized, I think.
Well, like, they get a lot of their money from private investments, for sure.
We try to figure that out. They do disclose some of the money and what it's used for, but it's a government institution. In some, so there's, as Darren said, it's like a weird in between. They are funded by the government, but they do have the power over their own policies. So when, for example, our university, when Anton Pijpers, the chair of the executive board, keeps bringing up, because what we say is, you immediately boycotted Russian universities. Why are you not doing the same for the Palestinian people and boycott Israeli universities? And then they say, yeah, we got the call because the government told us to do so, we did so. But that is not true. The university does have the space and the opportunity to choose for boycotts themselves. And furthermore, it is very concerning when our university says, we just basically do what the government tells us, because what will happen now with our far-right government that is being formed? What would that mean for me as someone with everyone with a migrational background, for the international students? Because our university profiles itself as progressive, you know, left-leaning, everyone is welcome, everyone is free.
I mean, it's well-known Trek University is the seat of international legal studies in the Netherlands. It's famous for its international law studies.
Yeah.
Which kind of ironic.
Ironic, exactly.
What happened to your encampment? You had an encampment at Utrecht University and the police came in and took it down?
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
So on Tuesday?
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
On Monday, it was the first one at UvA.
Yeah. So, of course, we participate in the Student Intifada, which is a transnational student movement. We all have the same demands to our universities, which is cut ties with Israeli institutions.
And Intifada means shaking off.
Intifada means revolution, shaking off, yes. It's not a scary word. It has been, propaganda.
Criminalized.
Yeah, it has been criminalized, but I use it very proudly because it's a beautiful word. It means to stand up, to shake off. It means revolution for me. And I think we students hold a really great power into the current genocide, because when you also look, like, students have almost always played a huge role in revolutions. And I think it's our responsibility to take up this role right now when it's needed so hard. And what we did Tuesday was we followed, we decided to do it the day after UvA, after our University of Amsterdam comrades and their encampment, to keep the momentum going and also to support them and stand in solidarity with them.
Which had been busted up by the police.
Yes, very violently. And unfortunately, the university knows our demands. Our demands have not changed in the past 7 months. So for the university to ask for our demands is also a bit like frustrating. I mean, have you been listening the past 7 months to what our demands are? Well, clearly no. And we demanded for the university, if they wanna talk to us, we do not negotiate. We stand firm on our, we have surpassed the point of dialogue and negotiating a long time ago, because the university never reached out. We stand firm on our demands, but we did say that, we did tell our university, if you want to talk to us and share a message, relay a message to us, you could do so, but only in the public space of everyone who is at the encampment. Because if you, as a chair of the executive board, take up that role, that means you should care for your students, for your staff, and it means you should take responsibility for your actions towards all your students and staff. So on Tuesday, the university, the chair of the Anton Pijpers, I'm just going to call him Anton Pijpers, but I'm just going to call him by his name. Anton Pijpers refused to come to the encampment, even though he was in a building that was on the encampment, so he was just watching us weirdly from a window. At one point he decided to call the riot police on us too. Everyone was arrested but not booked in, basically. So
many students were there?
I think it was pretty busy. Like, we also called on the community to come and support us. There were a lot of students, a lot of staff, I think around 100 people, maybe more. I'm really bad at guessing guessing crowds, but there were a lot of people there, more than we had, more than we could have even hoped for. And at one point, students and staff decided to close the encampment to make sure riot police doesn't come in, because we wanted to protect the people occupying and we wanted to protect the encampment. Riot police were called in. They violently took students.
How so violently?
Well, when you call riot police in the Netherlands, it's in, I think, anywhere. When you call riot police, you know you're going to call violence. You know you're going to call for batons, for blood, for a broken nose. I don't know.
Police dogs, pepper spray.
Exactly.
Were there police dogs?
There were police dogs. I don't think they were used, but they were there. What?
I heard a bang.
And then people started. There's been a bang and there are people running. The police came in.
Yeah, the police came in, violently forced everyone off the encampment, and the same happened the day after, because one thing we made clear is you can call violence on us, you can call riot police on us, but we will keep popping up until you divest and boycott and sanction. So we did the same thing the day after. Again, that is when violence was also used on the protesters outside. I was one of them. I saw the violence by police. I saw undercover police misusing the hijab, the keffiyeh, misusing Palestinian flags. It was disgusting.
They were provocateurs.
They were, yes, they were provocateurs. They for no reason kidnapped one of the protesters because we formed a human chain and we were standing face to face with riot police, and our only chant was, "We are peaceful, what are you?" And we were peaceful. We don't have anything. We don't have weapons. We don't have dogs. We don't have batons. We have nothing. We only have our voice and our duty as human beings and as students to make sure that we do our best to stop this genocide from further going on.
Who was anybody arrested?
Yes, people from the outside protests were arrested, some people. They claimed that they were causing chaos, but that wasn't true. As an organized protest, you need someone to lead it. You need someone to tell, this is what we're going to do, this is not what we're going to do. So we were just chanting there, basically, and they violently came and took him away.
So what's happening on Monday?
On Monday, we are having a walkout. It's organized by staff, I think, to protest the green light being given by Adi to use police violence on his own students and own staff.
It's astonishing that Ghassan Abusita, the British Palestinian surgeon, is being he's had a Schengen block, a Schengen prohibition placed on him, and he's being denied entrance. The Netherlands, he was going to be coming in to give testimony to a Dutch organization about the use of white phosphorus, and he's being banned.
Yeah. It's disgusting. That's the only thing, the only word I have for it. He's a hero. He is one of the many many heroes who went to Palestine to help the Palestinian people, to treat the Palestinian people, to treat the wounded children, the wounded women, the wounded boys, men. It's bizarre that he is denied entrance, and I condemn the action by Germany to block his entrance to Europe for a year. I really condemn it fully.
I mean, he's a surgeon. He's a physician.
Yeah.
He's a human rights worker. He treats patients. He's a born witness. He's observed firsthand conditions in Gaza. He's perfectly peaceful, and he's being denied entry into the European Union as a result of a fatwa placed on him by Germany.
Exactly.
It's
a
German fatwa.
It's a German fatwa. We're really well set. I'm going to use this. Yeah, it's you cannot describe it any other way. It's a German fatwa.
Final thoughts?
I think we're all very distracted. I really want to know what is going on.
Final thoughts? Cops off campus.
Yes.
Boycott, divest, and sanctions, and free Palestine.
And long live the student intifada.
Bless you both.
Thank you.
Raha and Juran are master's students at Utrecht University. Both were present at occupation events last week. In response to the violent police assault on those actions, called in by university and city officials on May 13th, Utrecht University students and staff staged a walkout. A loud gathering and die-in unfolded in front of the university's administration building. "Come on out and speak to us," instructors told university officials. They wanted to speak with university president Anton Pipers, the guy you heard earlier at the university birthday shindig, telling students their disruption was over. Pipers was reportedly the one who called in the riot police. Pipers did not come out. That duty fell to Vice Rector of Administration, Margot van der Star, who carried out her job with considerable grace. "A very well-trained crowd of students," repeated van der Star's words in smartly phrased chorus. "It's hilarious. Here's what it all sounded like. The first person you'll hear is university instructor Marcia Valenta talking about getting roughed up by a plainclothes cop and a black balaclava."
And then you have these guys that are called Romeos, and they're very nasty.
I was talking with someone, like, did they call in the fucking military police? Because I did see some people
who were
very, like...
Yeah, they were wearing balaclavas.
or I never know how to say it, but anyway, balaclavas. So they wear those, so you can't recognize them. They've got black like sweatshirts on, skinny jeans, and they're smaller than the, like, riot police are people like twice as big as me.
Yeah, the,